Reading from an article that appeared in Bhaktivedanta magazine in the early 1970s. The article was written by Achyutananda Das Brahmachari in the early days of developing the ISKCON Mayapur project. Srila Prabhupada sent Achyutananda Das Brahmachari to Mayapur, and he lived in Navadvip, because we had no property or temple at the time. And during that time, Achyutananda was looking for property and trying to find some land, specifically in Mayapur, to establish the ISKCON Mayapur Chandradaya project. One day, Achyutananda Das, he met Sridhar Maharaj, and he asked him, he said, "How is it possible if the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, if it is a completely spiritual thing, how is it possible that we are chanting this completely spiritual mantra with our material tongue and material ears? How are we able to chant this mantra? The channel of transcendental sound. The holy name of Krishna cannot be uttered by a material tongue, nor can a material ear hear the holy name. The holy name is Adhoksaja, having reserved the right not to be exposed to organic senses. All the experience, knowledge, and memories that we have gleaned with the help of the mundane senses, our tongue is comprised mostly of earth and water elements. The nerve endings, extending to all parts of the body, carry charges of electricity, also a material element. If an object is too far away, it is not touchable, seeable, tastable, and so forth. If an object is too close, it is also imperceptible. We can't see our own tilak mark or eye makeup. When the senses are extended by microscopes and telescopes, these instruments have more range, but are still limited to the material sphere. The telescope cannot penetrate the outermost coverings of the universe. The microscope lens is composed of atoms, and therefore cannot see the atoms or anything smaller than the atom. Similarly, the system of mental speculation is also inefficient when it comes to perceiving the spiritual element. Mind is a material element whose density is very slight. Higher abstractions are no more spiritual than hard rocks. There is a common belief that by extending the potency of the mind, we can conceive of the infinite. But this process is defective. If the infinite cannot be confined in a limited mind, then it is not infinite. I do not know even how many hairs are on my own head. Mental speculators grind their brains over the abstract aphorisms of Zen and the Upanishads and think that by their own power they can achieve something like infinity. The result is just mental gratification. The mind explodes and dies of exhaustion, and the reaction is deplorable. Total forgetfulness of the self and the infinite. There are channels by which the infinite descends. He is all glory, beauty, knowledge, wealth, and renunciation. He is dominant, all-extending, free, and autocratic. The infinite cannot be contained within a limited sphere. But if he is really infinite, he has the power of making himself known in all his fullness to the finite mind. When out of his own prerogative, he takes the initiative and reveals himself to the devotee, there is actual perception of Godhead, self-realization, transcendental realization, and revelation. By the channel of transcendental sound, he comes by vibrating the spiritual tongue of the pure devotees who are representing him to the world. The spiritual element vibrates the spiritual tongues of the bona fide guru's audience, which have hitherto never been vibrated. Pure sound is delivered by the bona fide guru. Sadgurudev utters Hare Krishna. Our material ears hear some sound that resembles the transcendental name of Krishna. Our eardrum moves the liquid of the inner ear, half water and half air, which vibrates the ethereal element and touches our mind. At this point, the soul is still untouched, and there has been no genuine spiritual experience. By hearing with the mind's impressions, we enjoy the sound of cymbals, the beat of the chant, the pleasant company, and the effect of listening and hearing. But it does not stop here. Piercing the mind, the original sound uttered by the guru moves our intellect, and we consider the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. For millions of years, sages chanted this on the banks of many holy rivers. Everywhere, a flood of ideas appear about the possible effects of the mantra. This, while being quite blissful, is not spiritual revelation in the true sense. Beyond the intelligence is the spiritual element, soul, myself. That sound, having cut through all my senses, including the mind and intellect, now vibrates the finest sentiments of my own real existence. This is the perception of the holy name on the spiritual plane with my spiritual ear. Then the soul, being inspired, recapitulates, sending the vibration into the intelligence, mind, and so forth, out to my external tongue, and we say, Hare Krishna. That Hare Krishna is He, and we dance in ecstasy. Sounds, sounds, sounds. Sounds. Catch hold of the sounds. Seize the sound waves traveling within the ether, and your happiness is assured in spiritual life. One Rishi has explained in his sutra that massive epidemics are due to the ether being contaminated by impure sound. When the lawyers and pleaders in court begin to tell lies in the name of justice, these sound vibrations contaminate the ether and in turn contaminate the air and water which people breathe and drink, and an epidemic is the result. When four-headed Brahma creates the universe, the seed ingredient is sound, Om. And from that Om, the Gayatri Mantra is born. In this sound, the 14 planetary galaxies sprout like whirls of spiraling stars and planets, with the sun situated in the very center of the universe. Each planetary system is composed of a different sound uttered by Lord Brahma. Each galaxy provides the multitudes of jivas with their particular spheres of karma, dharma, art, kam, and moksha. It is the function of Brahma to provide these different galaxies and planets according to the sinful and meritorious deeds of innumerable living entities. Lord Brahma utters a different sound for each planetary system, and his engineer, Sri Vishwakarma, creates the planets according to those sounds. The subtle elements and gross elements are distributed in this way. In our planet, the predominating elements are earth and water. In other words, only water is found. On the sun, fire is the predominant element. If a spiritual individual, under the effects of illusion or maya, wishes to end his gross existence, he may enter a planet of air, ether, mind or intelligence, and live as a ghost. The individual jiva is also endowed with a particle of creative power, and the ordinary individual as well creates his tiny sphere of influence by sound. Some jivas' spheres of influence are no bigger than their own craniums, and some jivas have influence over a community, a nation, or even a whole planet. The beauty and harmony of their particular spheres of influence depends on the quality of sound they produce. When one nation tries to conquer another nation, the first points to capture are the radio stations, the newspapers, the journals, the lines of communication. By sending out its manifesto by sound, the government can remove the former leaders from their posts and capture the country. Then also by sound, a new government becomes established. If there should be any defect in that sound, then the whole thing is ruined. That is why there is so much alteration in the world situation. The sound of all these jivas, to quote the Bible, is babble. Nonsensical sounds are entering and contaminating the ether, air, water, and very molecular structure of each and every person, place, and thing. Sankalp and vikalp. A person's mind is composed of two functions, technically termed sankalp and vikalp. Sankalp means the mind's desire to join thoughts into concepts, theories, and tableaus of theories. Vikalp is the mind's function of rejecting thoughts, of simplifying and limiting experiences, which are gathered through the senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. Both functions are controlled by sound. Here is an experiment. Close your eyes. When I repeat a number, you will see it flash before your mind, like it flashes onto a cash register. 1, 3, 7, 4. The processes of sankalp and vikalp respectively make the thoughts come and go. This is a very simple form of the mind's process. On a more complicated scale, there is the very risky business of intentionally invading the sound waves with defective sound. The lines of communication are filled with impure sound, from the earliest of school books to the most advanced so-called philosophy. The White House filibusters are another excellent example of intentional pollution of sound channels. Filibuster means one politician in the Senate would stand up and just keep speaking. And the rule there was, as long as he would stand up and keep speaking, once he was recognized by the chair, he could go on and speak for days until he stopped speaking or sat down. He had the floor, and everyone had to stay there, listen to him, So he could tie up everybody's lives and minds for hours or even days, going on and on, speaking all kinds of nonsense about anything. This is called a filibuster. Political practice. It was done in 18th century in America. This is an example of intentional pollution of sound channels. If we were to infuse spiritual sound into the ether, saturate the ether with the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the mantra would purify, enlighten, and saturate every being with its potencies. Sri Shikshashtakam. Lord Chaitanya's 8 verses, which comprise the final message of all spiritual instructions. The first verse gives 5 effects of the transcendental sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First effect, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra wipes the material dust from the mirror of our mind. The mind is like the intermediate connecting medium between the spirit and that material external covering called the body. The soul has no material activity. When covered by maya or illusion, the soul remains dormant in a state of suspended animation. The magnitude of the soul is so great, however, that it infuses consciousness on all sides. Through the medium of the mind, the senses act, and we, quote, know things. If this glass, the mind, is put out of focus by the external nature, we suffer confusion, pain, disease, and death. Yes, death is a state of mind only, as the soul has no death. By the mind we mistakenly think, oh, I am dying, I am drowning, I am giving birth, I am sick, and so forth. When the mind is cleansed by the Maha Mantra, it is forcibly purified. Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. All the material concoctions which are the cause of our suffering, are forcibly murdered, starved to death. They thrive on material sense pleasures. Flooding the mind with transcendental sound is like stepping on the pin of a bomb. All those misconceptions of material suffering and enjoyment are shattered, murdered, and the material mind is conquered wholly, leaving no enemies behind. The mind then reflects the spiritual knowledge, quality, and energy of the soul itself. Chaito Darpana Marjanam. The second effect, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. The fire of conditional life is thus extinguished. Nirvan, which most people are trying to understand from Buddhist texts, means extinguishing the fire of material existence. Our material body has been burning from the very beginning by the process of digestion. Biologists all declare that the body is a burning organism, giving off heat, water vapor, and carbon dioxide. After 70 or more years, our body is consumed by that smoldering digestive fire, and we move into another body only to burn up that one too. It is like chain smoking. With the lit end of the cigarette, you light up a fresh cigarette and on keep smoking. By the potency of transcendental sound, the cause of that fire is extinguished. Effect number 3. Shreya Kaivrava Chandrika Vitarnam Vidyavaru Jivanam. The transcendental sound then spreads the light of benedictions, peaceful suggestions, and fearlessness. and no more anxieties invade the mind. When we come out of the womb, we approach the world with many deep-rooted fears. Is there safety? Is there happiness? Is there peace? The answer is the basic seed, Om. In this case, means a big yes. Om, yes, a positive answer. Simply by negating the mind, the questions of the soul are not satisfied. Something positive must be given. The Mahamantra floods the mind with suggestions of the truth. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam. A full dose, an ocean of blissful nectar, is served to the soul who has been thirsty since time immemorial. Sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This point has a twofold meaning, external and internal. Sarvatma means all jivas. The holy name bathes all souls with spiritual bliss, knowledge, and love. The transcendental sound completely overcomes the soul with its sublime potencies. But Atman has many meanings as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Atman means supreme absolute truth, the body, mind, intelligence, endeavor, conviction, and nature. By uttering the pure sound of the Mahamantra, one invades the very cause of everything that exists, the body, mind and soul, and even nature itself can be changed into transcendental nature by once exclaiming, Hare Krishna. Capture the sound waves, which are the cause of every item of existence, and saturate them with Hare Krishna. The result will be the total transformation of energy. An ashram and all the paraphernalia in it are all divine. The environment in which we live is the ashram. Which we live in the ashram is not the same in which we were born. It is there. It is Golok. And the more we progress in our sadhana, the more he will reveal himself to us. Regarding one of the supreme forces in the descent of the Hare Krishna mantra, Jagadguru Jayadev Goswami has written a beautiful verse. He says, O Harinam, you enter my ear and touch my heart, and tears flow from my eyes and fall to the ground, making soft clay. My footprints are left in that soft clay for my successors to follow my way. It must be noted that if the guru is bogus, then that name will not touch the spiritual spark within the coverings of the mind and body. It may sound the same, but it is not, just as milk and whitewash look the same, but they are altogether different. Now many such artificial gurus are about, and the fact is, as it were, they are camouflaging the genuine devotees. If someone finds a treasure beneath a tree and marks the tree with his initials, and then comes back to find every tree marked with the same initials, he will be unable to recall the original tree. The original sentiments invoked by the holy name are concentrated, blissful recollections of the pastimes of Krishna. These sentiments are in all souls, and are five in number: the neutral sentiment, serving sentiment, sentiment of friendship, parental sentiment, and the sentiment of intimate love. Krishna is called Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of all transcendental sentiment. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham. I reciprocate with all the various services rendered within the sphere of these different sentiments or rasas. Krishna uses the neutral devotees who do not take to active engagement in his interest at his own sweet time and liking. If he wants to play the flute, he picks it up and he sets it down when he likes. To his servants, Krishna is the noble master. In this relationship, there is more facility to please the master, to bring his food, his favorite clothing. Yet still there is some hindrance, since he may tell the servant to be gone, and the servant must obey out of duty. The friendship rasa has two stages. First stage is friendship with feeling and respect, gaurava priti ras. Arjuna has this type of friendly relationship with Krishna. He begs forgiveness from Krishna for unknowingly calling him in jest or for associating with him without bowing down and so forth. When the friendship is more developed, Vishramba Sakiras, the respect and honorable formalities disappear. Jumping on Krishna's shoulders, wrestling and playing as though Krishna were their equal. Sudam, Sridam, Subal, and other coward boys revel in endless sports. Sometimes they even consider Krishna their inferior. Oh, Krishna? He's the youngest one of us. He is also the lightest. We can all overcome him in wrestling. So go lightly, go easily with him. Don't fight too hard with him. Just as sugarcane juice is made more concentrated until it becomes molasses and then crystal, the friendly rasa with added feelings develops into parental affection. Krishna is my son, says Mother Yashoda. I must always look after his needs and protection. If I don't see him for even 5 minutes, I get so scared. I see huge trees falling on him and horrible demons capturing him. Oh, there you are. Why do you scare your mother like that? Always stay in my presence. I cannot stand to have you out of sight. Even punishment of the beloved is seen in this intimate relationship. As concentrated sugar becomes rock candy, so the parental exchanges of rasa condenses into conjugal love, in which there is complete dedication to the desires of Krishna, with no tinge of desire for one's own pleasure. I am yours, complete unconditional surrender. If you trample my body underfoot or embrace me fondly for your pleasure, I am happy. If you want to throw me into the hell and keep me far away from your company, I am prepared to go. If you forget, I cannot forget you. You are always my beloved. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.